Extra, extra. Read all about it.
Hey, kid. Here's a nickel.
Oh, thank you, sir. Have you heard the news today?
No, what's going on?
Oh, it's big news, mister. Big news.
Big news, you say, son?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's, The Dark Side Podcast, episode 2. Dark Side.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Darker Side Podcast. This is a podcast where we delve into the darker side of our existence. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair game as we discuss murder, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, the paranormal, and the dark depravity of the human soul. I am David, and as always, with me is Forrest, Rachel, and John. How are we all today?
Hey, guys.
Everybody okay?
It is so good here.
I'm loving life.
All right.
Forrest had to be cut off before we started recording the podcast.
So let's hope he can now sober up for his news story and everything.
I'm pretty tipsy.
All right, guys, I'm drinking off a Forrest drink because he can't drink it anymore.
Episode 10!
Hey, guys, thank you for listening up to this point, and if you haven't, you should.
Thank you so much, guys. When you get to this point,
you'll understand why. But thank you guys so much for all your likes on our Facebook page. Everything you do, all the downloads and everything and listens, we really appreciate it, guys. And continue to stay with us. This is
Be sure to rate and review, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Rate us. We need rates.
All right, guys. Today we have part two of the Rodney Alcala. What do they call him? The dating game?
The dating game killer.
Yeah, yeah. And later on in the episode, John is going to dive deeper into the darker side with the part two of the Rodney Alcala saga.
Into the deep, muddy quagmire that is the darker side.
And the dating game.
And the dating game.
All right, so today in history, Darkest Side Edition, we're recording this on May 1st. All these items have happened in history on May 1st.
Oh, happy Beltane, everybody.
Or May Day. In 1169, Norman mercenaries land at Banno Bay in Leicester, making the beginning of the Norman invasion of Ireland.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, that's where we get the dark Irish from.
That's where the Normans met the Saxons, actually. It's where we were white met bread.
Another Scottish fact, in 1328, the Wars of Scottish Independence end by the Treaty of Edinburgh. Northampton, the Kingdom of England, recognizes the Kingdom of Scotland as an independent state.
No way.
That doesn't last that much long, though.
Rest in peace, William Wallace.
That doesn't really last that much. If we go forward in time, it's so funny that all these things happened to Scotland on May 1st. In 1707, the Act of Union joins the Kingdom of England and the Kingdom of Scotland to form the Kingdom of Great Britain. Scotland got fucked a lot, and Ireland did too, I guess, you would have to say.
Wasn't there like a movie kind of about this?
Yeah.
By what's his name?
Yeah, the guy.
The religious director, actor.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, there you go. I'm sorry, I love that film as much as I don't care for the director.
Do you even know what the name is?
The movie?
Yeah.
I know it's Mel Gibson. It was literally a movie I watched at a friend's house a long time ago.
Were there blue paint on their face?
It was a very long
movie. Was it about a William Wallace?
Old Ironsides.
Old Ironsides.
I just know it was a very long movie.
All right, guys, so in 1776, establishment of the Illuminati in Gulistad, Upper Bavaria, by Jesuit Adam Weishaupt.
Jesuit.
So, the Illuminati is actually a thing, or was a thing. I'm not sure it's what we believe it to be, but it was.
It's a thing.
That's awesome. I think it's a thing.
Yo, you think so?
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Skull and Bones, Illuminati. It's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing. 10 years later, in 1786, in Vienna, Austria, Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro, is performed for the first time. Figaro!
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's one of those...
He was a Freemason, part of the Illuminati conspiracy.
Oh, hey, 10 years earlier it was started. So in 1884, the proclamation of the demand for 8-hour workday in the United States starts. Well, actually, for the proclamation, there, you know, this is the beginning of the industrial, you know, striking and all those things for, you know, against child labor and 18-hour days. And, oh. You know, we did something right in America with the industrial age.
Yeah, just ask an exempt employee.
Oh, we're not speaking to any of them. You're not speaking from any personal experience.
No. I only worked 20 some odd hours this week. It's fine.
It's Tuesday, John.
Right. Right. It's a light week.
I think, yeah, like 20 or 25 for me, I think.
In 1884, the same year, Moses Fleetwood Walker becomes the first black person to play in a professional baseball game in the United States.
Hell yeah, Moses.
Everybody, remember that name, Moses Fleetwood Walker. What a great name.
Moses Fleetwood.
And he was the first African American to play in a professional baseball game in the United States, which is my absolute favorite sport, and good for him, man.
I feel like he has three 1970s ballad bands right in his name.
Right, and it only took them 80 years for professional black people to play in actual, you know, like, Major League Baseball. You know, the 60s with, was it Willie Mays or...
What about Shoeless Joe and...
Yeah, those were, like, pre-real Major League Baseball, you know. Those were, like, farm leagues and corn.
Hey, baseball is baseball.
Nobody cries in baseball.
Nobody cries in baseball!
There's no crying in baseball.
There you go, the right quote. Yeah. The sorry, right quote is so much better with all...
Next sorry, I fucked up the quote.
It's okay, I fixed it for you.
Thank you, honey. Like, you fixed everything for me.
It's my job.
Oh, God.
In 1886, rallies are held throughout the United States demanding the 8-hour workday, culminating in the Haymarket Affair in Chicago, in commemoration of which May 1st is celebrated as International Workers' Day in many countries.
Interesting.
So, happy International Workers' Day, everybody.
So, 2 8-hour workday celebrations.
Right.
Within
2 years of each other. Yeah.
2 8 hours.
Yeah. All right, guys. We are going to get on to the segment of our Darker Side news stories.
Fuck yeah.
Today, I'm going to be reading an article. It's kind of like a news brief, but it's NBC News. Did another advanced species exist on Earth before humans?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
A new paper explains how we might go about looking for evidence of an earlier civilization. Our Milky Way galaxy contains tens of billions of potentially habitable planets, but we have no idea whether we're alone. For now, Earth is the only world known to harbor life, and among all the living things on our planet, we assume Homo sapiens is the only species ever to have developed advanced technology.
Nope.
In a mind-bending new paper entitled The Silurian Hypothesis? Silurian? Yeah. A reference to an ancient race of brainy reptiles featured in the British science fiction show Doctor Who. Scientists at NASA's Goddard Institute, and by the way, Goddard was named after Goddard of Auburn, Massachusetts.
Robert Goddard
of Auburn, Massachusetts, yep. Which is 8 miles that way.
My grandfather watched him fire off the first rocket.
That's awesome. He was the father of modern rocketry.
He was, until Operation Paperclip with Wernher von Braun, and then he was the real...
He's the one who brought us to the space. Correct. The moon. Yeah, for sure. But without Goddard's information and his ideals and his teachings, never would have gone.
We never would have dropped a bomb on Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Truth. Truth bomb. All right, so in Institute of Space Studies and University of Rochester, take a critical look at the scientific evidence that ours is the only advanced civilization ever to have existed on our planet. Do we really know we were the first technological species on Earth? Asked Adam Frank, a professor of physics and astronomy at Rochester and the co-author of the paper. We've had an industrial society for only about 300 years. That's 300 fucking years. And how old is the planet Earth? Billion.
5 years. Oh, wait. 2000 something. The dinosaur bones are fake, etc.
Yes. What? They were buried by scientists.
Yeah.
To disprove the proof of God.
This is like
you didn't
new
know that.
Oh, really?
This is like new for me.
Forrest, This is what the church says. The church really? Says that dinosaur bones were buried by scientists.
A church says that.
I thought the bones were more scientific than anything.
More than one.
Wow.
Okay. We've only had an industrial society for about 300 years, but there's been complex life on land for nearly 400 million years.
Yep.
If humans went extinct today, Frank says, any future civilization that might arise on Earth millions of years hence might find it hard to recognize traces of human civilization. By the same token, if some earlier civilization existed on Earth millions of years ago, we're going to have a fuckload of trouble finding evidence for it. Of course, they didn't put that in the article, but
right.
Literally, we would.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were here millions of years ago, we would, at this point, which this continues to go on to
but
say,
there is
we would only find chemical traces of them, and we would have to dig at a level that we probably couldn't get to.
We would leave them so much plastic. They'd have plastic. They'd have Dinty Moore beef stew. They'd have Twinkies.
The article says that.
Really?
Yeah, the article says that because civilizations in our future might find our chemical makeup and leftover of our plastic consumption.
They'll think we're little creatures made out of benzene.
Right, and they will. And I mean, that's what it goes on to say. It's like, if we can dig down deep enough or find this evidence, like in the ocean or on land, and you know, deep down into the land, if we can find chemical makeups of like certain chemicals and things that we use, like plastics, etc., an advanced civilization of that time would probably have similar stuff, either plastics or you know, metals and stuff like that. So what they're basically stating is that we could find this evidence, and the only way we would basically at this time
would be to go to Libya and look at the nuclear glass in the desert.
High five.
Hell yeah.
Nice. That'll be a future episode, by the way. Nuclear glass. All right, guys. Well, that was my news story. And next up will be Rachel. What do you got for us today, Rachel?
So today I'd like to talk about the arrest of a young lady named Allison Mack.
Who's Allison Mack's right?
Allison Mack is most commonly known for a role she played on the TV show Smallville.
No, what was Smallville about?
I love Smallville.
Superman.
Oh, I know. Just
Superman!
When he was a young buxom teenager.
Correct.
Could you use buxom for a man?
Sure, he was a handsome man.
Oh, he was a handsome man, yes.
I
buxom is more of a feminine description, I'm pretty sure.
She had the best tits.
I remember her. I don't know if you guys remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids series.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. The movies. She was in the third installment.
Was she the really? Only sister?
Was that Honey, I Blew Up the Baby?
No, that was the second one. The third one was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I haven't seen that.
Came out in 1997.
I did see the original in the movie theater, but I didn't see the third one. Definitely two. I've seen two far too many
times.
You, sir, have not lived. Go
Until
live your
you've
life.
Seen the third one.
Yeah, yeah.
Go live your life, David.
So, Allison Mack was arrested on the charges of soliciting through a cult, as everybody's calling it, known as NXIVM.
Ooh, NXIVM.
I'm sure you've seen it spelt. It's kind of Roman numeral.
Love it for my heartburn.
NXIVM, which was led by none other than the Keith Raniere. Raniere? I don't know how to say it. I think it's Raniere.
Yeah, he's a well-known weirdo for a long time.
I don't know if you guys remember Consumer Byline.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember seeing commercials because it was all over the place. But it was a pyramid scheme that they eventually got busted for. But
wasn't it like a feminine empowerment type of thing?
No, that's what NXIVM is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, NXIVM is based on the lines of empowering women-only organization to help overcome their weaknesses. Because, you know, that's what women have.
You frail little thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Push a baby through my penis. Not going to happen.
Keith Raniere. Okay. You guys have to see the video of this guy. He's a total creep. He really is.
He's got sweet fucking flowing D'Artagnan hair. Oh, my God. He's
nice.
He's a handsome lad.
He prefers that the young ladies in his troupe call him Vanguard.
Oh, yeah, Vanguard.
But this guy's also a genius. Like, his IQ is in the high 200s.
Oh.
He's insanely smart, like, talking by the incomplete senses by the age of one, reading by two. Like, genius.
Most of these people who start these organizations are quite intelligent.
Super.
Jim Jones.
You have to be. You have to be.
Super intelligent. Exactly. You do.
To convince somebody to do these things for you, absolutely. You got to be smart as fuck.
So, basically, what happened was this NXIVM group has a subgroup known as DOS.
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 DOS Matrix.
Latin, with the meaning of Lord or Master of the Obedient Female Companions.
Oh. This one goes out to all the wives out there. Oh, yeah.
In this subgroup, there are levels of slaves and masters. The slaves, basically. Obviously.
Sounds like the last fucking orgy I was at.
You were at an orgy last
one?
I wasn't, actually.
Yeah, me.
You take that back because your wife's listening?
Yeah. Hi, lady.
Okay, so the slaves were eventually branded in the pubic region, or pelvic region, I should say, you know, just below the underwear line, branded in the pelvic region with what appeared to be a Latin symbol, but if you turned it sideways or looked at it sideways, it was the initials K-R.
Yeah, what I listened to...
Keith Raniere.
I was listening to an interview where supposedly Keith Raniere, created this symbol based off of that Latin symbol.
Right.
And that's all he wanted it to be. And then the ladies themselves changed it or altered, again, this is coming from the word of his mouth, altered it to be his initials.
Because he's so important.
He says that he has nothing to do with this, that it was his partner, who's Nancy Salzman, who she liked to be called Perfect.
Oh.
That was her name. That was...
So she started this woman's group, apparently, according to Rainier or whatever?
Yeah, that it was all her fault. But so Alice and Mac, it's believed that she is one of the masters in this group, and that she has been publicly recruiting women of the famous persuasion on Twitter. I believe she reached out to Emma Watson, offering her an opportunity she couldn't turn down.
I'm so glad she did.
Models, etc. Just for this guy.
She tried to go after Hermione, goddammit.
Nobody does.
You do not touch Hermione Granger.
Nobody puts Hermione in the corner.
Right.
No one touches Hermione.
Wingardium Leviosa, my friends.
Yes.
So this story is quite interesting, and there's a lot of, you know, testimonies from prior members of this group. That really get into it and how they're all brainwashed. And it's quite an interesting story. So check it out. I'll post some links that you can
watch. You think we'll probably do a diving deeper?
Yeah, that would be really cool too.
Say, say with sex slaves for what's his name?
K-R.
K-R.
Keith
Vanguard.
The Vanguard. Sex slaves for Vanguard.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's.
Well, we should definitely do a diving deeper episode, and Rachel will probably head up the research on that one.
Yes, I'm excited. But if they do get convicted, both Allison Mack and Keith Raniere could be facing up to 15 years in prison for a minimum sentence.
Yeah, but, I mean, I hope they get them on everything, because these guys are scumbags.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Johnny, we're going to go do a little bit opposite, and what do you got for a news story with us for us today?
I got something a little more lighthearted today. No sex slaves.
Oh, bummer. Boo. Sex slaves. Sex slaves.
It's a lighter side of the darker side. So there was a couple that ordered some plastic bins off of Amazon, presumably to clean up their house, maybe organize their garage. I don't know. It's a busy weekend. They may not have time. But they ordered plastic bins off of Amazon, and what they got was the plastic bins. But inside of these plastic bins was 65 pounds of packaged marijuana.
Sweet purple sticky nubs.
Sweet, delicious Chiba.
Purple sticky punch.
Ohio Dome?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
So I'm sure, like everybody here, they would definitely call the police first. And that is in fact.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I get 65 pounds of free weed. I'm not having a party. I'm absolutely under no circumstances. I'm calling the police right forthwith.
911. I just got a package in. Yes, I ordered some plastic bins, and I found 65 pounds of marijuana. Please come pick it up.
Please stay in the line. Please stay in the line.
Please come pick it up.
Are the bins hurting you? Are you in a safe place?
There's marijuana, and I don't want it.
I know
pick
that it's the devil's lettuce. Are you in a safe place? Can you get out of the house? Can you get out of the house? Stay with me. Can you get out of the house?
Come pick it up.
But are you safe?
I'm not going to lie.
Everybody except for Forrest.
I would have to think about it for a little while before I called the police. Maybe for an hour or two.
You probably shouldn't just say anything. That way you can smoke all that sweet dope all on your own.
Exactly.
Well, you see, they asked to be named... they asked to be anonymous because they have seen a lot of movies and they, quote, feel like this could, quote, end pretty badly, end quote.
Hey, I'm in MS-13. I want my weed back. Buck. No?
I feel like that's exactly what happened.
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah, I mean, Florida, that's because those are the only people that... We're in the sweet, sweet Northeast. We would have just called everybody we knew and been like... Yeah. I don't know what happened. We got 32 pounds of weed shipped to us.
Uncle Davey's got some medicine for y'all.
Rainbow God stepped in.
Yeah, for reals. Oh, man, I don't know what I would do. I would do exactly what you did, what you said, for sure. Party.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets a... What do the kids get at parties?
Goodie bags.
Everybody gets a goodie bag on the way out.
Everybody gets a goodie garbage bag. Grab a Glad bag on your way out the door.
I would bake tons of goodies.
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of chocolate goodies.
Make some butter.
All right, John. Well, thanks again for that uplifting tale of... I can't say it's whoa. Definitely isn't whoa. That would have been like, whoa. Holy shit. You know?
Well, for turning it back in, these folks actually were given a $150 Amazon gift card and an apology. I'm sorry about all that delicious marijuana that you had to turn in. Here's $150.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
What a horrible trade.
Yeah, bad. All right, Forrest.
I just order more Tupperware. And see what happens.
Yeah, me too. I'll be like, I'm going to sell some of this packaged Tupperware stuff, and I'm going to buy some more Tupperware.
Fuck yeah.
All right, Forrest, what do you got for us for a news story today, bud?
Three Mexican film students were killed. Their bodies dissolved in acid.
You had to bring it back to the darker side now, didn't you?
Yeah, back to crazy dark.
So they're Mexican film students? Or film students in Mexico?
Supposedly.
Have Stefan Spielbergo or Jorge Lucas.
It's so bad.
Ich Manuel Rodriguez.
All right, Forrest, what do you got? Story. Let's go.
All right, last month, three Mexican university students were filming a school project when they disappeared. The last time they were seen alive, they were being forced into a car by two armed men dressed as police officers in Guadalajara, Mexico's second largest city in the western state of Jalisco.
No, is that a coastal city?
Not at all. That's
no, so it's in so it's very blurry. Yeah. Because I was going to say, guys, if it's a coastal town and you're in Mexico, don't go off the reserve. Except, John, you went off the reserve and had a good time in Mexico, didn't you?
Oh, my God, yeah. It's a beautiful country filled with wonderful people. Don't listen to anything anyone says.
I'm just fucking with you, dude.
The disappearance of the three film students, 25-year-old Javier Javier.
Hey!
Hi.
That's the most gay you've sounded in this all 10 episodes that we've done.
Forrest goes like, you know how Super Herman goes Super Herman?
Yeah.
Forrest goes super gay.
Oh, when he gets a little tipsy?
Super gay.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think so.
All right, well, let's get this new story like flowing.
Okay. I got this, don't worry. For more than a month, the case of the missing students remained a mystery. But on Monday, Mexican authorities revealed gruesome details from their investigation. After they were abducted, the film students were beaten and killed, and their bodies dissolved in acid. The Attorney General's office in Jalisco said in a televised news conference on Monday. The students, who authorities say had no connection to any criminal gangs, found themselves inadvertently enmeshed in an ongoing conflict between two drug cartels. Members of Mexico's most powerful cartel, cartel.
If you're a fucking cartel and you have cartel in your name, go fuck yourself.
Right? Yeah.
So stupid.
Like, come on down to Cartel Ford. We got a good deals on the Fiesta.
Like, what in the world?
So basically, these kids got into a turf war between two cartels inadvertently. What were they making a film about? Were they making a film about these two groups?
I have no idea. I mean, it says the students' deaths became the latest example of the lives upended by violence in a country that just marked its deadliest year in modern history.
So basically, they don't. Nobody knows, and nor will they ever find out.
Let me see here.
There's no reason to go on anymore.
No.
No, because there's no answer to this article.
The answer is the drug war making the cartels rich and completely powerful.
And guess who started that drug war?
That's Bill Clinton, everybody.
It's, yeah, it just really mentions that they all had a connection to the University of Audiovisual Media in Guadalajara.
Yeah, that's all.
They were working on a film project.
Yeah, and that film project could have very well been a film project about the two warring factions.
It could have been about anything.
Well,
if
they were killed for their involvement or some sort of involvement with these two cartels, they could have been making a film documentary film about them.
They could have. They could have also been making a film documentary about something else and happened to capture footage of something they shouldn't have. Like in the movies, Dave. Duh.
Oh, like in the movies.
Like in the movies.
They were probably just filming a dog. Like, oh, look at that dog. And they kind of caught a drug deal. Next thing they know, they're iced.
Yeah.
Yeah, holy shit.
Actually, scrolling down, supposedly they filmed in a house that was believed one of the film students' aunt's house. But it turns out that this house they were shooting in was part of a gang. It was like a safe house.
Oh, so it was
a
gang. Okay, well then that's grounds for death right there.
Yeah, so the house is shooting back is really the...
Pretty much, yeah.
Ugh.
All right, Forrest,
poor bastard.
For that amazingly horrible...
I bet you the aunt was the ringleader.
You know what's going to be? A movie is going to be made of that.
I love it.
Could be.
Could very well happen.
Don't trust your aunt's children.
Yeah, don't.
Blumhouse, if you hear me right now, I would love to take part in this kind of film. Or I would love to just originate it myself.
Yeah, well then you do that. Write a screenplay. Write a screenplay. You're a smart kid.
Yeah.
While you're not drinking barefoot.
Hey.
Moscato.
Pink Moscato.
Hey, I'm focused. I'm determined.
True that. All right, Forrest, well, thank you so much again for that news article.
And
we've
a
all
shot of fireball, too.
Yeah, we've all had a wonderful time tonight.
It's been great.
John.
Episode 10. Yes.
Episode 10. All right, guys, well, that was our news stories. Right now, we're going to dive deeper into the darker side with our second part of Rodney Alcala, the
Game Killer.
Johnny?
So last time we spoke about five murders that Rodney Alcala had committed in 1977 and 1978 in the Los Angeles area. These occurred right about the time of his dating game appearance. This monster was so shot in the ass with himself that he figured that while in the middle of a killing spree, it's probably a good idea to become a contestant on the dating game.
Why not? Dude, what was the 70s?
1978.
Fucking groovy time, dude.
Groovy
time, baby.
Groovy as hell. So we have the audio, and we can share it with you guys. But today, with the assistance of Rachel and David, we are going to reenact Rodney Alcala's dating game appearance.
Now, this is the, you know, edited for content version of the whole episode, so it's all of just Rodney Alcala's.
This is all of Rodney Alcala. Rodney Alcala was bachelor number one. Cool. There was a bachelor number two and a bachelor number three. They were drippy. They were drippy gentlemen. I don't know if you watched the clip. One of them had a horseshoe. He had a horseshoe. That's even at the time. He had gold chains and a horseshoe.
we'll do a link and possibly the actual audio of the full experience on those. But check it out, everybody.
That sounds good.
So on September 13th, 1978, Rodney Alcala was bachelor number one on the dating game. Let's bring us to the lucky bachelorette.
Bachelor number one, what's your best time?
The best time? Why, that's the nighttime.
Why do you say that?
Because that's the only time there is.
The only time? What's wrong with the morning or afternoon?
Well, they're okay, I guess. But the nighttime is when it really gets good. That's when you're ready.
I am a drama teacher, and I'm going to audition each of you for my private class. Bachelor number one, you're a dirty old man. Take it.
Come over here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, honey, we ought to go out and boogie.
Later in the show.
Bachelor number one, I am serving you for dinner.
Ooh.
What are you called, and what do you look like?
I'm called the banana. Because I look really good.
Can you be a bit more descriptive?
Peel me.
Later, Bachelor one, later.
Welcome back to The Dating Game, and Cheryl, we have reached a moment of truth, as we call it. You've heard from the bachelors, and you've got some great dramatic presentations. Some good answers, but now I'm going to ask you a question. Will the dater be Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two, Bachelor number three? Who gets the date?
Well, I like bananas, so I'll take one.
They immediately cut to Rodney Alcala's smiling face. He won the date. But Cheryl...
And Cheryl backed out, right?
Yeah.
Good for her, dude. Because that was some fucking creepy shit. 1978? He called himself the banana.
The banana.
The banana.
Fucking amazing.
I'm going to cook you dinner. What do you want?
Just peel and you'll find my dick.
Later, bachelor number one.
Oh, it's so creepy. Everybody watch it. So Cheryl was smart. She said when they finally got around to meeting backstage, she refused the date because she said she found him, quote, too creepy.
She wanted his banana on the show.
Until she saw his face.
Oh, she didn't get to see Alcala's face. I totally forgot that they're behind. I haven't watched The Dating Game in quite some time, guys. Sorry.
That's true. Nobody has. I probably should have set that up. Do we want to start this over?
No, it makes a lot of sense, though.
Okay, fair enough. He won the date, but Cheryl backed out. She said he was too creepy. And as I stated in the last show, he went on to kill two more people. But it was his appearance in the kidnapping of 12-year-old girl Rodney Samso on the beach by an alleged photographer that would lead police to Alcala. Samso was at Huntington Beach with a friend who witnessed the whole thing and gave the police a composite sketch. The description looked like Alcala, and it did not take long for them to put the pieces together. He was arrested on July 24, 1979, and charged with murder. And then there was a crazy and unexpected tip. He mentioned in prison, in a conversation with his sister, that he had a storage locker in Seattle. He asked his sister to go to the storage locker and clean out the contents. Now, unbeknownst to both of them, but knownst to us and the cops, the cops had found a receipt. The receipt was for a storage locker in Seattle, sitting in Alcala's apartment. When the police got to the locker, they found thousands of photographs of women, girls and boys, some just children, all of them in sexually explored.
When did they finally find this locker?
1979, 1980, right around then.
Okay, so they did, okay.
Yeah. So they went to the storage locker and they found thousands of photographs of women, children, boys, girls, all of them in sexually explicit positions, all of them naked or half naked. Then they started digging. Buried under the floor, they found a silk bag with earrings. Huh. Robin Samso's mother was shown the earrings that were found, and she discovered a gold pair of studs that she would often lend her daughter, proving that Alcala was the murderer.
Whoa. Can you imagine that?
So did they find this in the actual storage locker as well?
In the storage locker, in her bag.
Underground?
Underground.
Wow. I mean... Where do you go after you take everything out of the storage locker? You go down. These guys often bury shit deeper in this little hiding
spot. They keep
spot.
Trophies of their crimes.
I mean, yeah, there's got to be that some sort of aspect of control. And I mean,
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah. I mean, serial killer, trophy serial killers.
Yeah,
they take.
So in 1980, Alcala goes on trial for 2.5 months. 2.5 months of a trial.
For the murder of how many kids, people? Four.
The problem with the Alcala murders is there are so many potential murders that he is responsible for that at this time they didn't know the number. They just knew Samso. So he goes on trial for the murder, and he's eventually sentenced to death. Good. Now the story should end.
Should end.
However, the California Supreme Court ruled that Alcala did not receive a fair trial. You see, the jury had been told about his prior sex crimes, including that of his 1968 attack on Tally Shapiro, the one I spoke of last time. So there's a second trial for Robin Samso.
A fair trial?
Sure. If one of those exists.
Yeah, exactly.
6 years later, he's convicted for a second time.
Jesus, it took that fucking long, huh? For an appeals and then a whole new retrial.
Now, is he free at this time?
He is not.
Okay. Yeah, so he's still been incarcerated.
A spoiler alert. Yeah. So he appeals again. And in 2001, a federal appeals court overturns his sentence because there was evidence that Alcala was not permitted to present.
Oh, Jesus. So he's already been tried for this fucking crime twice?
Correct.
Does he get tried again, John?
He certainly does.
Do we have a fucking... Isn't there something in our actual constitution that says, or something in our laws that state that we can't...
You've got the right to a fair trial, Dave. Yeah. You've got the right to a fair trial.
Oh, touche. Look at me being French and stuff.
So the evidence, you're wondering? In his first trial in 1970... In the 1970s, Samso's mom, Marianne, had brought a gun to the court to shoot Alcala between the eyes.
Jesus.
Oh. Of this, she...
I would have done it.
Of course. Yeah, right. Of this, she said, quote, "All of a sudden, I smelled her shampoo and felt the warmth of my daughter on my hand, and I couldn't get my hand out of the purse."
Damn.
20 years later, I'm sure this woman wished she shot him. In 2003, DNA is collected and Alcala is tied to two more murders from New York, one in 1971 and another in 1977. The 29-year-old Christine Ruth Torrington. The cases get tied together and Alcala is tried for the murders of five. We have a serial killer.
Hey, what necessitates what necessitates a gun rack?
I don't even own a gun.
Well, how many kills does it take to become a serial killer? How many licks does it take, basically?
To get to the center of a serial killer?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's three or if it's four. Anyone with Google can look that up and we'll get
So
that.
Just basically a serial MO? As in 1, 2, 3, 4.
A fucking dirty predator that walked across the fucking country killing people? Yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
So this trial is endless.
How endless, John?
Oh, quite endless. Alcala serves as his own attorney in the trial.
Oh, hey, always a smart move.
The answer to the how many licks question, it takes three.
It takes three.
Only three.
It only takes three.
Three or more.
Wow, interesting. So we have, thank you, Rachel.
You're very welcome.
So we have five. So in the 2003 trial, the Mary L.
Like fucking three.
2003. For a murder in 1979.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. David, you were born in 1979. How old were you in 2003?
14.
Let's wait till you...
Do some more math.
24.
Perfect.
There you go.
So Mary Ellen O'Toole, a former FBI profiler, said, quote, "There is no better forum than to be center stage in the court as your own attorney. As you cross-examine the witnesses, you are like a god in that courtroom."
Ugh.
And Alcala was. In Alcala's closing argument, he played Arlo Guthrie's 1969 song and Thanksgiving staple, Alice's Restaurant.
Come on, why don't
really?
Do a song? I listen to that song every year three times.
So if you go to the courtroom scene...
Morning, day, and night.
If you go to the courtroom scene, I will read to you a quote from that he played to the jury. Arlo Guthrie says, quote, "I want to kill... I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead bird bodies. I mean kill. Kill, 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 kill.
Ugh.
Completely taken
so
out of context.
Creepy.
Completely taken out of context.
He's called the banana.
Keep the peel on.
You're defaming. I mean, you're like, oh, it's such a good song. It's such a good part of a good song.
It's
out of context.
It's ironic and about disposing trash improperly.
Right.
So he was convicted. Alcala was convicted of 5 murders and sentenced to death. And then there was a breakthrough. He was tied to 2 more murders he committed in New York in the 1970s, that of Cornelia Crilly and in 1971, and Ellen Hoover in 1977.
Wow.
And there were more victims. He was suspected or accused in the killings of Joyce Gaunt, Antoinette Walker in Washington, Christine Thornton, in Wyoming, and Pamela Lamson in California. How did he get away with all of it? I hear you cry.
Oh, I'm crying right now. How did he get away with it all?
I'm going to tell you.
Thank you.
In New York, he was active at the time of the 44 killer. You guys know him as the Son of Sam. And in L.A., he was active at the time of the Hillside Strangler, flying under the radar and copying the act of the other degenerate bastards.
Wow. Well, I mean, it makes sense, though, because if you... He's West Coast. I mean, what we know him for, his West Coast murders. He goes to the East Coast and is like, who's the famous killer right now? I'm going to copy exactly what that guy's doing.
Copied exactly. And so when he went from the East Coast to the West Coast, he stopped in Wyoming, he picked up hitchhikers, and through the photographs that they found in the storage locker, they have tied him to more murders.
Wow.
What's sad is that there's still so many people that they don't know.
There are a hundred
still
or so?
Unidentified.
Yeah.
So many of these photographs have been identified, and many of them are still unknown to us today. And we may never actually know the final death count of the dating game killer. There are still more than 100 photos of unidentified people in Alcala's photographs. We will post the link. If you recognize anyone, please contact the authorities at 715-375-5056.
This disgusting, very vile, very horrible human being, like the epitome of absolute depravity and horribleness, could have the greatest serial killer number of all time.
If you do a simple search, you will see Wikipedia. Let's use Wikipedia, the bastion of whatever knowledge that it is. They attribute him anywhere between 8, and I've mentioned 10, but anywhere between 8 and 130 murders.
Jesus fucking, could you imagine if he did 130 murders? How he would have
in America, by our, you know, our social standards, he would be the greatest serial killer of all time.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. American, for sure.
Oh, totally.
That's crazy that there's a potential of him to have that high enough of a body count. And some of these women in such, in these pictures of these 100 identified people, unidentified people.
But there's, like, children and
transients. And again, like... some of these parents could be dead and not even, you know, I mean, they'll never recognize these pictures. It was their only child, or who knows? It was 40 years ago.
Yeah, we'll post a link. If you're from the Huntington, California area,
or
America,
if you lived in the U.S. in the 1970s, my God, look at these photographs. And if you recognize anyone, call the Huntington police. You can call the police in New York. You can call the FBI. It doesn't matter. You can call anyone. But if you recognize anybody, please, for the love of God, call them.
Just for some sort of finality for the families or these persons who are missing and were brutally disposed of by this monster. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. What a crazy story. And I'm sure that there is a much more that you could dive into.
Oh, my God. There are books. There's everything. There's a great 43-minute documentary that 48 Hours did. Definitely took a lot from that. News articles, Rolling Stone did a great article. We'll post that. There's so much information on this guy.
It's weird that, like, I never heard of Rodney Alcala until you brought it up.
Yeah.
Until I saw, like, a news article about the pictures, like, about a month ago.
Yeah.
Until then, I didn't even know he existed. I mean, people do, because there's a massive subculture for, you know, serial killers. But, like, he's not one of the heavy hitters when he possibly could be the heaviest hitter of all time.
Right.
It's fucking crazy, man. I mean, I don't understand why they don't put him up on a pedestal, probably because of the dating game
episode. Fuck the pedestal. He should be in a swamp.
That's what I mean, dude. But, I mean, you know the serial killer subgenre. I mean, the cult of serial killers out there and who hold these people to high respects. But, you know, whatever.
8-year-olds, dude. 8-year-olds.
Fucking pederasts.
Wannabe serial killers.
All right, guys. That was Diving Deeper into the Darker Side. John, thank you very much for giving us all more than I've ever wanted to know about a gentleman. But, you know, I'm glad that I do know about him now. I mean, he has the potential to be one of the greatest.
You've got to stop saying greatest.
greatest whole. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, not greatest. I gotta pick a different adjective.
You really do. You're
greatest at being a douchebag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
He's gonna be the most deplorable human being.
I like that.
Ever that has ever existed.
Even call him
he is a one man basket of deplorables.
Yeah, I mean he is the bottom of the barrel, the least horrible person. All right, guys. Well, that was episode 10. We left out a bunch of our segments today for time and. Whatever, we just wanted to have a good time tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Just get to some news stories and dive us, you know, get us into that second part of you diving deeper into the darker side. Rodney Alcala.
Oh, fuck that guy. Horrible.
Well, thank you for at least allowing everybody out there.
And look at the pictures and find somebody, damn it.
Yeah.
Find them alive.
John needs closure.
I need somebody to be found alive, for the love of God. Please be like, oh, that's my sister. She works at Taco Bell. She's fine.
What a night, dudes.
Oh, what a night!
Oh, what a night!
Late December back in 63. What a very special time for me.
Thank you guys for joining
what
us.
What a lady, what a night.
Celebration.
Celebrate good times. Come on!
Boom, 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 boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Celebration.
I am David Pottle. You can find me on Facebook at David Pottle.
Hell yeah.
If that is your real name.
It's my real name. you can find my band Frenemy at Frenemy Providence, my other podcast, Life Relationships and Everything in Between. And thank you guys for just getting deep. And thank you for following us for 10 episodes. It's
thank
been
you.
A pleasure making these, and we like you guys. We like you a lot. We love you.
The training wheels are off, my friends. We're about to kill it.
Yeah, so we had fun with episode 10. We're going to get serious, and we're going to get you guys some great episodes coming on in the future. I think our episode 13, lucky number 13, is going to be a fun show. That'll be a open format episode where we have some special guests come down and we're all going to tell some spooky tales from our lives. It'll be a good time. All right, guys, again, thank you for joining us on the Darker Side. Rachel, you got some deets for anybody?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Facebook. I'm also on Snapchat. You can find me at DRP49532. Send me some pics.
What? Just as long as they're not dick pics, I'm her husband and I don't want her getting dick pics.
He loves dicks. Send all the dicks.
Nah, I love dicks.
Yeah, Forrest is the dick lover.
Forrest, what do you got, bro?
Forrest, you can find me on Facebook, like Forrest Films, all that stuff. You know, please check out our group page on Facebook. We're on YouTube, Podbean. We're on Google Play Music, iTunes Podcast. We're on Podbean. We're on even YouTube, I guess. You know, we're on Insta. We're on Twitter.
Hey, Twitter dog.
Come check us out. Please comment, rate us, send us a message if you want us to cover a certain story or do a certain creepypasta. Or even if you write your own creepypasta, you know, send it to us. We would love to
read it. Hell yeah. I'll read some of your creepypastas.
And I would love to thank everybody for loving us and listening to us on our 10th special episode. And I'm so happy to be part of this. Thank you.
Johnny. Frere Jacques.
Frere Jacques.
What you got?
So dormez-vous. Find me on the, how you say, the Instagram, where I take pictures of dog, sometimes cat, sometimes I wear fur hat. Sometimes I take pictures of food, I get nice borscht, have a nice borscht meal, sometimes the cabbage, I eat lots of cabbage, it's cold.
Make this stinky fart.
It's farts, and it's cold in Russia. Send me your vegan recipes, I'm trying a new lifestyle out. Yeah, Herman Brow.
Hashtag Herman Vegan.
Not politically. So cash me outside at Herman Brow. That's HERRMANN. Brow, that's BRAU, the German word for beer. Herman Brow at Instagram. Shoot me pictures of your dogs, your very own borscht, and possibly a good recipe for gazpacho. You'll be able to check us out at thedarkerside.com as soon as I get my IT chops in order. And that's about all I got today at episode 10.
Ow!
10. X. That's the symbol for 10. Thank you guys for coming to the Darker Side with us as always, and catch us next time.
Have a good night.
Exum Prasad Luchim.
The Darker Side Podcast.